going to be Matthew 4:19. It's a simple, verse. And basically, Jesus is saying, I'm going to set it up with two verses. Jesus is saying, simple thing, hey, he saw these fishermen. They were just sitting there. They were Peter and Andrew. And they were just casting nets into the sea. Oh, look, check my baby out, man. I have this thing, you know. Anybody? Yeah, we'll talk about fishing in a second. But they didn't use poles back then. They used nets. And my own son, he uses a net sometimes, too. And any of you guys use nets out there as fishermen? Anybody? Okay. A couple. I see. Okay. I see someone coming up. And anyway, what happened, what was going on here, is that Peter and Andrew are just, they're doing their job. They're just being fishermen, what fishermen do. And Jesus is walking along, and this isn't the whole story. We're going to get the other whole story out of Luke. But he was walking along and said, hey, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I love that verse. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And this is an amazing thing. So we're going to be centering in on this one verse. But to get the whole context of this is that in Luke, there's another version of this. Now, when you have two eyewitnesses to something, and you see something, if you see an accident, and you see it, Edward sees an accident, and Rob sees an accident, but they both see the same accident, when they talk about it, they're going to be talking it from their own experience, from their own angle, and they're going to be getting different viewpoints. Not everything is going to be exactly the same. In fact, being that I'm from the court system in my other life, we know, prosecutors know that if four people come back with the exact, not the general message that Jesus called people, follow me and come, you know, the simple message, not that, but that if every single detail, every single thing that they saw was exactly the same way, in the same fashion, and everything, the colors, all that, then they know these guys are lying. Then they know there's been something going on, that they're in cahoots together, because no two people, when you see the same thing, you're not going to describe it in the exact same way, with the exact same details, and the exact same extent. So here we just see a different version of Luke, who got this from one of the disciples, and he says this. He says, this is the setup to what Jesus was doing. Jesus did ask them to follow him, but the setup was that he was walking along, and Jesus, you see, it's not in here, but Jesus was speaking to people. He needed a boat, and he asked Simon Peter, hey, man, can I borrow your boat to go out to preach to these people? And Peter, Simon, says, sure, come on, Jesus, come on into the boat. So he came into the boat, and he preached to them, and after he had finished speaking, then Jesus says to Simon, check this out. Hey, man, do this for me. Cast your net. Go back out again and cast your net. Go deep in the water there and let your nets down for a catch. And Peter's probably thinking, dude, we fished all night, all right? We didn't catch a thing. It's been all night. And some of you people know about how crazy that is, frustrating and so forth. But if you insist, we'll do it. And then we see the effect of what's going on here. We see that they had so much fish, it was so crazy that the nets begin to break, that there wasn't enough room for it to happen, and even the ships were starting to sink, and both boats became filled. Take that in for a second. Isn't the power of God amazing? The power of God is absolutely amazing. Now, many of us, we try to live our lives, and we have our own nets, right, in our lives. I don't know what it is. Some of us, you may not be physical fish. Everybody in life, we're casting nets for something. Some of us are casting nets for a man. Some of us are casting nets for a woman. Some of us are casting nets for a new house, a job, this, that. It doesn't matter what it is. And we're living for that thing. That is the thing that makes us tick. That is the thing that we think satisfies, but it doesn't satisfy. And Jesus is drawing, he's really teaching the disciples, and we're going to see some of the things he's taught. Through the analogy of fishing, he's teaching them, guys, do you know who I am? Do you know what business I'm in? Do you know that I could change you from this to something amazing? You think you're just in the Sea of Galilee, this not a small sea, but you're just stuck here, you're here. I'm about to invite you on a journey that's going to change the whole world upside down. I'm about to invite you to a mission that will totally fill your that whole void in your life, that reason that you have a reason to get up in the morning. It will put a spring in your step. It will give you power and hope in life. And what's going on here? So Peter sees this, and then he says, Lord, whoa, dude. He didn't call him Matt. He didn't call him Lord then. It wasn't that they didn't know who. He said, he knew he was somebody special, but he said, just get away from me, man. Just get away. You are too, I'm too much of a sinner to have you around. That blesses my heart because Jesus' response then, go into the next slide, Matthew 4:19. His response was, yeah, you're right. You're a creep. You're a sinner. You're no good. You're nobody. You're a Galilean. I don't want to be dealing with Galileans. By the way, these guys that Jesus gave an invite to, these guys that Jesus said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. These guys were Galileans. They were lowest of the low, right? They were like, I hate to say it, but some people, I got in trouble on the other site, so I'll get in trouble. How many of you guys, people pick on Jersey all the time in this place. You ever see TV? Oh, you're from Jersey. You know, you ever see that? Oh, you're from New York. You're from Brooklyn, worst off. You know, any Brooklynites here? Nobody. Now we can talk about them. But the idea here, this is the kind of people that Jesus met. They were dirty. They were fishermen. They were unlearned. The rest of the people looked down their nose at them. In fact, when people found out that Jesus himself was from Galilee, if you know the story in the Gospels, the people cry out going, Galilee? Are you kidding me? What? Say, what? What good can come out of Galilee? Remember? What good could come out of that? But Jesus found. Jesus is in the business of taking people that no one would even think about and bringing them into his family and giving them a challenge. He said, come, follow me, and you will be fishers of men. In that one verse, we see the kernel of viral right there. In that one verse, we see Jesus. Now, he's starting out with just himself. Now, he's just walking around. He has a vision and a mission in his heart that God gave him, who he's God himself, to go seek the lost. He came, it says, I came from one person to seek and save that which was lost. He's walking along, and he says, hey, you know, he preaches a little with them. He says, hey, man, come and follow me. He said, come and follow me. And so in that, and Jesus wants to do something. Here we have a command, and we have a promise all in one verse. The command is to follow me. We're going to get into that in the Greek. It's an amazing thing. It's basically three words. Three words is really, come after me. And then the promise is, I want to do something for you. You come after me. And we're going to get into what that is. You come after me, and I am going to make you, I am going to transform your life. I am going to give you a reason for living. I'm going to give you a ministry. I'm going to make you into something that you thought you could never be before. And you're going to help me bring so many other people that need to know me into my kingdom because of what I'm about to do for you. But you need to come, and then you need to, I'm going to make it happen. So we have a command and a promise. It's an amazing thing. So the thing to come after, I love this word. So when you just say follow me, it's more than just, oh yeah, I follow you, you know. We all have on Facebook, I'm following you. I don't even know who I'm following. I have like 3,000. Actually, I have 2,992 friends. So if you guys knew, I need 3,000, all right? Give me 3,000, and then I'll get more people, and then I'll become more viral online, and then people could hear more about God and all that. But the point is that a lot of people say, I follow you. I follow this. I follow the Mets. I follow the Giants. But what Jesus is talking about something totally different. He's talking about actually coming after him. Actually, this is the reason for your living. He's calling them to leave everything behind. He's calling them to make a commitment to him. Get out of that boat, Peter. Get out of those nets that you're using. I'm going to take you somewhere where you can't go on your own. I'm going to take you somewhere where we're going to change this whole world upside down. I'm going to take you somewhere out of this muck and this mire. And I just want to say right here, this same promise that Jesus is using, and he's using the analogy of fishing that we're going to talk about, this same promise is for all of us today. All of us, he's saying to all of us, come, follow me, come after me. meaning live for me, come after me, go with me where I go, go where I go. Let your heart bleed where my heart bleeds. Let your love go where my love goes. Understand who I am so I could teach you to live, to really live, to understand what real life is all about and to have real meaning in life and to have eternal life with me instead of in the dark and the mire and you're all, and you see Peter, you know, just a little, this little story, but there's lots of meaning here. They didn't catch a thing all night. Many of us are living our lives and we're not catching a thing. We think we're living for something, and if you were honest, you would wonder, like, why am I even living? Because it's not the reason that God created you for. It's not the purpose that God wants to have in your heart. He wants to put a burning in your heart. He wants to give you this passion and love for him, and he wants you to experience the supernatural. Many of us Christians, we claim to be Christian, but we're living in the natural. God wants us to leave those nets behind and come to the supernatural, come to the power of God. He wants us to leave our, and if we're living this way, if you're not a Christian, your shame, your pain, you know what I'm talking about, your sin, all this junk and slime and seaweed and garbage in your life that's worthless, God said, get out of there. Come after me, and I'm going to give you some reason to live. I'm going to turn you into fishers of men. We're going to go viral in this place. That's the whole purpose. I'm a little pumped up. I apologize. Hey, if you can't get excited about this, I shouldn't be doing this, right? But the thing is that's the whole reason for it, because we're doing this, because he wants us to follow him and become fishers of men. That's the promise, you see. And that's why they saw all that and they got up and they followed him. I find it fascinating to carry on Matthew. So Matthew's writing this, all right? Now, let's take it back. Now, remember, Matthew was this loser, sinner, excommunicated from the synagogue. You could never get to heaven, Matthew, because it's not going to happen with you because you're a tax collector. You're nobody. You're scum. Jesus says, no. I died for you. You're worth it to me. That's amazing grace. So Matthew takes it, he spreads it to his friends, and now fast forward about 30 years later, and look, Matthew's writing the Gospel of Matthew. And now that Gospel of Matthew, which many believe was the first Bible of the New Testament, has spread all over the world. We're reading it today. You see how viral the Gospel is? Are you with me here? All right. That's what's going on. Matthew is spreading this thing all over, even through his words today. God will give you an everlasting thing, everlasting life, an everlasting mission. And that's what it's all about. That's why I'm excited about the gospel. And Jesus, we're going to learn some things. Jesus, it's not an accident that he uses fishing. He could have stopped at anybody. He knew what he was doing. He's God Almighty. Yeah, we believe the Bible is God's word, and we believe Jesus is God Almighty. And the thing is he could have gone to a blacksmith, right? He could have done that. He could have gone to, I don't know, some kind of stable dude back then. What other jobs did they have back in the day? I don't know. I don't know. He could have, whatever it was, he could have been them. He decided, no, I'm going to choose fishermen. Because the analogy of fishermen, these words, is very related to evangelism. It's very much similar. There's lots of ways, and there's lots of things we can learn over this practical 6-week series, what it takes to reach people for Jesus. If you believe this promise, it means that he wants us to come after him, and he wants to make us fishers of men. And he's using this analogy of fish. I just want to go through some things. I just made some observations about fish. I think it's interesting. So first thing is this, obviously, is some people are really good at it. Like some people, I don't know, man. It's just like they're really good at it, and I don't really get it. I don't get it. I'm not a fisherman. I went deep sea fishing once or twice. And man, I was all in. I had my gear on. I mean, I had everything going on, man. I had it all going on. And we were out there, and I'm like waiting, you know, for fish, you know, waiting. And these other two dudes were drunk, right? One dude's drunk on this side. One dude's drunk on the other side. And they had their thing, too. Wouldn't you know it? Both of those guys caught fish. It was blue fishing. Both of those guys caught fish out there, and I'm like this, waiting for my fish. I didn't even catch a fish. I don't get it. But the point is, how many of you guys are fishermen? A couple? One, two, three, four, five. A couple are fishermen. So not many of us are fishermen, but how many of you guys have gotten fished before? Ah, almost all of you. How many have caught fish? Look at that. You caught fish, but you're not all fishermen. You get what I'm saying? So the idea here is not many people are evangelists. Not many people have that gift, and there's a certain gift in the scripture called the gift of evangelist, the office of evangelist. Or some people say it's a gift of evangelism, where they're just like a magnet, you know? Oh, God said, come, like Billy Graham. But all of us, God said, you could be fishers of men. All of us have that ability, and we just showed it right here, that we all can do that, that we all can take part in this amazing thing that we're going to get into detail of what it means to do that in the next few weeks, how we could have our lives become viral for him. And here's the counterintuitive paradox for this. In our lives, I know that this is the most unattractive topic to talk about in the church. I know that from experience. I know that because most of us, we're either afraid of it, we don't understand it, or we're rejection or whatever it might be, we don't think we're good at it, but that's the lie of the devil. Jesus says, no, he says, I will make you. This is God Almighty. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Not maybe. He's saying, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make you viral. I'm going to make you have the ability to fulfill the mission that I'm going to be given to you. I'm going to have you be my witnesses all over the world and so forth. And so I just find that interesting that that's true. Second thing is this that I find just in my own observations in the church and the evangelism, I mean, we see in the scriptures, is that fish stink. I mean, it's smelly. I mean, you know, it's dirty. It's a dirty job. You ever go fish? I mean, it's just a dirty job. There's like junk all around, and some of them are ugly. You know, I mean like ugly, like bad ugly. You know, you could like put the net down, and I remember going fishing in the bay in New Jersey, and my friend Jerry Zagorski. In fact, if you go njfishing.com, boom, he's number one right there. We went out fishing, and you pull the things up, and some of them are like beautiful fish, and some of them are just butt ugly. I mean, like ugly, you know. And as I told the other congregation over there, I said, like, look, that guy needs. We have a doctor. We have a dentist in the house called Dr. Joel Pinter. That dude needs the dentist right there. That's a real fish. You know, you guys are laughing, but some of you all look like this. Let's face it. That's a blowfish. That's a blowfish. And some of the chirp, you get fish that they're blowhards, right? They think, I know everything. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. You meet people like this on the street. I swear I saw a guy that looked just like that. Looks familiar. Side view. Do you have another one up there? Oh, that's the same one. All right, we saw him. That was me before I got my dental work. What point am I trying to make here? I'm trying to make here that when you're reaching people for Jesus, when you're reaching fish for Jesus, fish, it's going to get a little dirty sometimes. You're going to have to go where people wouldn't normally go. Sometimes it's going to be a little messy, right? You got to like just ignore all that stuff going on. In love, go to the people, right? Like Jesus went to Matthew, right? It's going to be like that. And the church is full. This church is a church for people who wouldn't normally go to a church. Some of us, we know ourselves. We walk in here and some of us didn't know Jesus before we came here. And the purpose of that is we want to go there. Jesus went there. Jesus went down there to the dirty, to the lowest of the low to catch. And not all of us are look like that, but it doesn't matter. God knows our heart. Our hearts could look like that, right? Our hearts could look like that. You may be all that and look pretty and all that, but God knows our heart. You could dress in a suit and look cool and all that, and you may look like me someday if you're lucky. That's a joke. But that's it, you know. But God, the point is it's going to be a little messy, but God wants us to get messy. He wants our church, he wants his people to be able to do the mission, and it might get a little messy sometimes. You might have to go places you wouldn't normally go. You might have to go into a place like Jesus did and eat with those sinners like Jesus did, right? And oh, look at the scandal. Remember we talked about last week? The religious people. Oh, my, look at Jesus. He's eating with whores and prostitutes. Oh, no. I could just imagine this. That's what they said. Go read it. I mean, oh, yeah, look at this. Oh, this guy is something's not right here with him. But Jesus said, no. That's the whole point. I've come for the sick. I've come for the people who need that work done. That's why I came. Third observation I make in fishing is this, is that it takes patience. I mean, I'm ADD as it is, and you want me to sit with a pole? That's why I never got, I don't know how you do that. You're ADD. He said, and you want me to sit with a pole all day in one spot and like wait for a fish? Are you kidding me? I mean, but it does take patience, I understand. And so forth. And then you can't move around. If you muddy the waters, that messes up. And I can't sit still in my chair for 5 minutes. You want me to sit still in a boat? You know? But it takes, some of us have been praying for our loved ones. Talk about patience. Some of us have been praying right now. Who's your fish, by the way, today? Remember we talked last week. That was your assignment last week, if you were here. Who's your Levi? Who's your Matthew? That slimy person that the world would say, even you would say, if this person becomes a Christian, I'll eat my hat. If this person becomes a Christian, man, I don't know what would happen. Impossible. Who's your fish out there? Who's your Matthew out there? And some of us, I have my own family members. You know, I have family members that aren't Christian. And they think I'm cuckoo, you know, a lot of them. And my cousins and so forth. Yeah, they do say that to my face too. But we've been praying for our people, right? And we don't see anything. It takes patience, right? Evangelism takes patience. I remember one of my friends, my dear friend, now, but I didn't think he'd ever become a Christian. I'd go home and tell my friends, I want to punch this guy in the face. I'm sorry. Don't hate on me. But because he would rile me up so much, and I would try to share the truth with him, he just couldn't hear. And it just wasn't happening, and I was getting impatient, and so forth, and so on. It takes patience. Second thing, another thing is it's discouraging. I mean, you got to learn how to deal with discouragement. They didn't catch a fish all night. Not all night, and some of us, you know, you may have tried to talk to people about Jesus, and maybe you got not only impatient, but discouraged, where, why would I want to do that? I know what's going to happen. They're just going to reject me again. It's the same old thing. It's like Eeyore, right? You're thinking like that. And God says, no, that's a lie of the devil. You don't know what's going on in the heart. You have no idea what is going on in a heart of a person, because they could say one thing, but their heart could be aching like Matthew for Jesus. No one knew that Matthew was looking for God. No one knew that. He was sitting at his booth, packing his pockets with money. We never know what happens. And I'll never forget the day my friend John Sobo, who's an elder at the Evangel Church. Now, don't go leave me now for that. But he's over there. No, I'm joking. You can if you want. But he's an elder now at Evangel Church. But I shared the gospel with him, and he was just so against the gospel, and he was so against me. And what happened to you? What happened to you? I lost my friend and this and that. And then one day he came to me and said, I need to be forgiven. I go, wait a minute, wait, back up a second. How did we get all the way from there to here? God, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit works in that. You know, we see that in the scriptures, you notice he told the apostles to lay down the net, right? In Luke, you saw that? But who filled that net? Jesus filled that net. God filled the net. He's commanding us to be fishers of men. He said, you lay down that net out there, Peter, and Peter did it in obedience, and then God filled that net so much it was overflowing. So God does it. God can make fish jump in a boat if he wants to. He can do that. He can make coins come out of a fish's mouth. He did that already. He can do that. He doesn't do it because he wants us in the process. He wants us to have this privilege, this amazing thing to share, but we need to have patience and we need not to get discouraged because we don't know. We don't know, but God knows. And God's working behind the scenes. So I want you to think about that when you think about the people in your life that need to hear the word of God. Next thing is this. Listen. Fact of the matter is the church is a fishing boat. That's the analogy I'm going to go with it. It's a fishing boat, not a pleasure boat. Let me put some flesh, I'll put some scales on that for you. How's that? All right, that's corny. But the fact of the matter is I like to go to LBI. Who likes to go down to the beach sometimes, a shore, LBI, a lake somewhere? You go down, and you see two different types of boats immediately in LBI. You see the pleasure boats. There's something called the black whale down there that we go on once in a while. It's like a pleasure boat. It has nice little seats. You don't smell chum. You don't smell the fish and all that. You don't smell the junk. They sell food. It's like a nice, David, you have this corny guy playing music for you while you're going on there. You know, it's a pleasure boat. You can see it looks different. It smells different. It sounds different. And even, they don't even go out far out. They hug the coast so that you can enjoy all the sights and so forth. And then there's the fishing boat. A fishing boat looks entirely different. A fishing boat is made for a purpose of action. A fishing boat is made to catch fish. It doesn't look nice. It stinks. It has a smell to it. And they go far out. They don't just stay out into the coast. They go way out into deep territory, into dangerous territory. They take risk. They do things that a pleasure boat would never even think of doing. Let me just set the game out right here. This church is not a pleasure boat. This church, in fact, the Church of Jesus Christ, is a fishing boat. We are a fishing boat. We are here to catch fish. We are not here for a pleasure ride. Jesus did not say, come, follow me, and we're going to go on a big pleasure ride. Yeah, we're going to have, and we'll change the curtains in the church, and hey, let's get baptismal robes blue and have this and argue over this kind of junk and so forth, like the church I used to go to. No, no, no. God wants us to follow him, and he will make us fishers of men. We are a fishing boat. That means we take risk. That means we go out into the deep to catch fish. That means we go everywhere we can to do his mission. It's a dangerous job. It's not a job for wusses. It's a job for people who are believing the promises of God that he will make you fishers of men. And I'm tired of hearing people say, David, why are we keep starting churches all over the place? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Because we're a fishing boat. Fishing boats fish. Fishing boats will go wherever it takes to get people. And that's the kind of church we are. So I tell people in a loving way, if this is not your kind of church, there's a church down the way that likes to maintain. We're not into maintaining. We're into taking over in Jesus' name. Because we believe in the power of God. We believe that Jesus changes lives. We believe that the Holy Spirit, once he fills you, will give you power on high to make the whole world turn upside down in Jesus' name. That's why we're here. And that's what we're all about. And I don't want to hear it ever again. And it's dangerous. You ever see it's a dangerous catch, the most dangerous catch? I don't, there should be a picture up there. It's a dangerous job, it is. I mean, you see these dudes. Oh, yeah, the deadliest catch. You see these dudes out there. You see these dudes out there, and they're like in the Arctic and so forth, and I don't even like it. I mean, I get scared for them, you know? They're in the crabs and the dirt and the same stuff we're all talking about. And they're smoking themselves to death in their little cabin. I don't know how they deal with it. It's like, oh, man. But, you know, the interesting thing is, last thing just about fish, is that it's a joyful thing. It's an amazing thing. It brings joy. There's not anything in life that compares. If you're really a Christian, there's not anything in life that compares with the joy that it could bring. Jesus himself says every time a sinner repents, think about this now. You want heaven to rejoice, right? If you're a Christian. Every time someone repents, every time someone says, Jesus, I'm coming home. I'm going to come after you. That's what I mean. I'm coming home. And the picture is so beautiful that come to me is like a father come after me. It's like a father and a son. And he's saying to the people, come after me. Come on. It's like we're all little kids here. We're all little kids to Jesus. Come after me. Come to Daddy. Come home to me. Do you know that every time? And he's looking for a humble heart. A humble heart. I sense today there's somebody here that wants to receive Jesus, and there's this battle going on. All he says is, don't even worry, just come with a humble heart. And whoever comes to Jesus makes it, all right? But the point is that it says that all heaven rejoices in the scripture when anyone comes to Jesus. It's an amazing promise. And that the angels rejoice, and the Father in heaven rejoices. Isn't that crazy, amazing? And fishing, the same thing. So when you see a fish, like everybody, it's amazing. It's different for almost every other thing in life, but it seems that fish. When someone catches a fish, they want to get the picture with the fish, right? They want the picture with, hey, give me a picture with a fish. Everybody wants it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Hey, you see the fish and the guy, look, I caught a fish. I'm so happy. It's like, that's actually my son Tim, about before he became an animal. 6'4 and all that. I think he was about 8 or 9, I don't know. How old were you? 11. And he's all happy because he caught a fish, that little sucker right there. I caught a sunny my first time. I was all happy. It's the only fish I ever caught was a sunny. But I still remember it. It's something about that. And you know, if we're believers in Jesus, this should be a joyful thing. This should be something that we want to do. I want to just close. I want to go to the last, I want to go back to the verse. Go back to that verse. Yes. Is this for us today? Do you believe this today? Do you believe it? Because this is it. This is the mission. This is what we're all about. Is catching fish. Jesus says, follow me, come after me, and I will make you. Notice it's a process. You notice the making, that word there in the Greek, it's a future tense. So you're not there now, but you could start now. You could start now, okay? You could fish now. You're not there now, but you could start now. It's a process. I'm going to make you. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. They were screw-ups. Peter was impulsive, man. These crazy Galileans, they were arguing with one another, who's the greatest, this, that, and so on. And Jesus probably was looking back going, if he wasn't God, he would have said, man, what did I get myself into with these people? How are we going to start a church with these people? It's just crazy. And so that's how it is, but it's a process. So I want to encourage you with that. It's a process that you can involve yourself in now. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And we're going to go through some practical stuff. I want you to come back the next 4 weeks. And like I say, you want real joy in your life? You want real purpose in your life? You get on the same page as Jesus. And he'll fill you with the things that you think you're missing, the things that you're really fishing for now. He'll fill you with the real things that cause you that joy in that life. That's what it's all about. And so I'm going to call the band up. So the idea here is this. Charles Spurgeon, who's one of my favorite theologians from the 1800s, believe it or not. But this one guy came to him, and he said, man, I'm not catching people for Jesus. I'm not able to. I'm a pastor. No one ever receives Jesus when I speak. And Spurgeon says to him, do you really believe that every time you speak, that you're going to bring someone to Jesus? And the guy's name was Reed. And Reed goes, no, of course not. I don't think every time I preach that someone's going to come to Jesus. Or every time I share with someone, someone's going to come to Jesus. And then Spurgeon says, that's your problem. That you don't believe every time you speak that someone's going to come to Jesus. Because you have the power of God behind you. Because you have the Holy Spirit behind you. Every time you speak, every time you share a good deed in love, every time you pray for someone, every time you do something special for someone, God's Spirit is there, and you should expect that God will work miraculously. We do not live in the natural world. We live in the supernatural. God wants to fill us with his power. Do you believe that today? I'm going to ask you to do one thing by application. I'm going to ask you to make a list of three fish that you know, and we call these fish here friends. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. We all have them. We all have people in our lives and our sphere of influence that you know they're not believing in Jesus. They don't understand, but we love them and we want them to. And so I want you to make that list. If you could just praying for them, just make that list. Pray for them that they may come to know Jesus. And next week, I want you to bring that list here on a 3x5 card. I want you to bring it here. We're going to make a prayer wall out here. You can just put the first names. You don't even have to put the full name. Let's trust God to do miracles in this place. Let's trust God to turn Scotch Plains upside down. Let's trust God to reach the people in your life that you thought were never reachable. Let's trust God with his power that he can do that in his name. Deal? For those of you that want to. And if you're not a believer today, as we pray, let's bow our heads. You know, we all come by way of the cross. We all come through Jesus. And he promises all we need to do is believe on him, to follow him, to come after him. It means to confess, to believe that he's God Almighty, to believe that he died on a cross for our sins, to believe that, like his word says, if you believe, he says, I will give you the power to be called children of God. John 6:37 says, he who comes to me, and that word is really, come after me, I will never, ever drive away. It's just a matter of that amazing thing. And like my friend John, who became a believer in Jesus, you could become a believer in Jesus. It's all about confessing, believing, and then Romans 10:9-10 says this, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So we have pastors here after the service where we're going to be out there for the picnic. If you're feeling the tug of God in your heart, I want you to come to one of us and we will pray with you to receive Christ. We will pray with you to share the full understanding so you may know Jesus today. You may know you're forgiven. You may know that you're one of his disciples like Matthew, and you may know you can have purpose and power in your life in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray for your mercy, your love. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit. I pray for that heart that's seeking you right now, that heart that's just feeling far from you. I pray for anyone who's in guilt today, Lord, that you would forgive them. I pray for any depression in this room right now. I pray for any anxiety, any physical problem. Lord, you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I pray for a touch of your spirit for all of us today, right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave, for the message. We're going to continue worshiping here. We're going to start with our offering. This is our time.